So in Romans chapter 15, beginning with verse 14, "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore, whereof I made glory through Jesus Christ, in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully persuaded the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I do trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed my seal to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Shall we look to the Lord? Loving Father, bless your word, we pray, as we consider it this afternoon, that it may be an edification unto each of us in faith and in ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we come to these concluding remarks of the apostle in this section, we find that he speaks of their relationship. Paul speaks of the coming journey to Jerusalem, to Rome and Spain. He speaks of the kind of Christian love and the sense of the gospel of Christ and of how he himself was involved in ministering, and of those things which he would also ask them to pray for him for. And so as we begin here, he says, "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." First of all, we might say that as believers, we are equipped to minister to one another. Sometimes we perhaps get the impression, well, only the pastor can do ministry, but that isn't the case. Being a believer, being in the body of Christ, being a part of that group of fellowshipping Christians, we each of us have an ability to minister one to the other. He's already talked much about ministering, as it were, to the weaker brother, in that we should take particular account of them who are weaker in faith, and that we should allow for that, that their conscience might not be in some way overrun with the liberty of others. And as it comes to our relationship one to another, he says, I am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness. The goodness of God is to be administered through us. As in ourselves there is no good thing, but as in Christ there is much that can be done which is good. We can serve one another in many different ways, and we can pray for one another, and we can be a part of the ministry. Sometimes it discourages me when I see Christians who perceive that they do not get a sense of ministry as they come to fellowship one with the other. That is, what I mean by that is sometimes it appears that sometimes Christians don't act as though they are a part of a group of people who should be ministering to one another. Sometimes they seem to be too independent in their relationships with people, and that they should take a little bit more interest in not only encouraging one another, but having that sense of connectedness in the body of Christ. Because believers are connected in the body of Christ. You know, sometimes we take that nucleus of the believers that was close to the Lord Jesus, and they are the disciples of Christ. They are those that were called of the Lord, and that they followed the Lord. But then when we stop and think about it, they must have been very, very closely connected to one another. Because they followed the Lord, it seems they followed the Lord everywhere he went, and they became participants in the very things that he did. In the miracles that he performed, they witnessed the miracles, in the kinds of things that he did, such as feeding of the 5,000, or in the healing of certain people, or in seeing him in the temple when he was involved in rebuking those who sold in the temple and made the temple something other than what it should have been. In other words, they were witnesses of all of those kinds of things. And because of that, they were very closely connected to Jesus. And we also are to be closely connected to Jesus, but we are also connected to one another, because Christ is in you. Christ is in me. He is that one who is born in us of the Holy Spirit of God, and he wants us to have that fellowship. There is a sense of goodness in each believer, not of ourselves, but of Christ, of Christ. We are told that the goodness of God leads us to repentance. We are told that that love of God that constrains us to go unto others, in that sense that we are to be witnesses unto others and we are to be helpers unto others, we are to be servants unto others. There is much that we can do one for the other. There is a sense of goodness. He says, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. And so we have the knowledge of Christ as well. Even though you may have a sense that you say, well, I'm not very well educated in the Bible. I read the Bible, but I really don't know a lot of things in the Bible as yet. And I'm still growing. Well, that is true. But even though that being true, we have a sense of the fullness of the knowledge of Christ. That is, you know that Christ came, that he was born into this world by divine means, that God the Father sent him into the world. You knew that that was a supernatural work of God. You know that Christ died for your sins. Christ paid the atoning price for your sin. He shed his own precious blood. You know that Christ died and that he was buried and that he arose again the third day. Now, this knowledge of Christ is a very vital and important knowledge. In fact, with that knowledge, you came to faith in Jesus. You came to faith in Christ. And so that knowledge is not a small knowledge, it is a full knowledge. It is a full knowledge of the knowledge of Christ. There is much more to be learned, but you do have a sense of the knowledge of Christ. Able also to admonish one another. And so in our admonishment, in our encouragement, in our edification one of another, it is something that each of us have a responsibility to enter into. Yeah, if you would just give me a drink of water, that would help. And then he goes on in verse 15 to say, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God." Well, I suppose the Apostle Paul had much to say in this area. But when it comes to the grace of God that was given to him, when it comes to that relationship that Paul had to the Lord, he had much, I'm sure, to communicate to the church at Rome. And he says, "I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God." So, what grace? Well, saving grace, but not only saving grace, ministering grace, grace that the apostle knew that he was called unto the Gentiles, grace that he realized that he was to forbear much with those that he ministered to, and that through his ministry, though he suffered much, he found great satisfaction that he might be pleasing to God. And really, when we stop and think about that is what ministry is all about. It is about not only preaching Christ, but living Christ. And it is about using that knowledge that we have to be of service to others. And that is all because of the grace of God. Paul did the very same things that he was trying to communicate to other people, that he was trying to tell them, this is how you are to live and to move and to have your being. You are to live it out to the glory of God, in the knowledge of God, in the goodness of God, filled with the knowledge of God. In verse 16, "that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that in the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost." Well, I suppose if there is one phrase there that we might emphasize, it would be the last phrase there in verse 16, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Well, here the work of the sanctification is the process that God uses in each one of us. But the idea of sanctification means to not only separate, but to make holy. And God is in the process of doing that with each of us, separating us unto the gospel of God, separating us in the sense that we are separate from the world, separating us that we might live holy lives unto God, and that through the work of the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Holy Spirit begins that work in us, as we know, as we are born of God in John chapter 3. The work of God begins in us, but then the power of God works through us as we give ourselves over to the Lord. And so we sense that that Spirit of God and the power of God is a sanctifying agent to bring about an acceptable work. He says here, Gentiles, again, verse 16, "that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable." And so what is it to offer up? Well, he offered up himself, but he labored much in service to God that he might be an apostle to the Gentiles. And so ministering to the Gentiles, that is in that way an offering up of the Gentiles that might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. "I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed." Well, one of the things that a pastor does often in preaching is to bring exhortations. Exhortations are important, and I think we see a lot of that in Paul's writing. He exhorts the believers to do certain things. And in that work of exhortation, we find that there is then that sense of communicating what the burden of the Apostle Paul was to the people that he wrote to. Whether it be to the church at Ephesus, or the church at Colossae, or the church at Philippi, or the Corinthian believers in Achaia, we find that sense of the burden of the apostle, that sense of exhortation. And to preach the Bible without exhortation is to lack something. There must be an exhortive element to the preaching of the gospel of Christ. And that exhortation precedes application. Exhortation takes us to the Word and tells us this is what the Word of God says, go and do it, or live it. The application comes down to a more personal level and basically says, well, it applies to your life in this way. Go out and be a witness for Christ. Come to church on Sunday as part of your responsibility because you need fellowship with other believers. Study the Word of God because studying the Word of God, you become better equipped. Come and sing the hymns because the singing of the hymns is a part of our fellowship and faith. All of those things either come together under the heading of some sense of exhortation or application as the Word of God teaches those things. And Paul was forever exhorting the brethren. He exhorted them in those things concerning whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain unto God. Because Paul was living that apostolic life. Verse 18, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. And so right there in that verse, you can see that sense that he had a desire to exhort the people unto obedience. In verse 19, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Well, Paul did begin, of course, in his ministry there in Jerusalem. And we find that he revisited Jerusalem, of course, at times, but then he was a very well-traveled apostle. In fact, he talks about here going to Spain. Well, if we understand our geography, that's on the other end of the Mediterranean. So he had a really long way to go to get to Spain. And Rome was no short distance from Jerusalem either, especially if you went overland. But if you go by boat, well, you know, it might be a little bit shorter, but nonetheless, these were places that he would travel to and wanted to travel to. It took him a long time to get to some of these places, and of course it was a major part of his missionary journeys to go and to minister to these people and to fully preach the gospel of Christ unto them. And here again we get that sense of his burden for the ministry, to fully preach Christ and to carry the message of the gospel of Christ to the Gentiles. Now, he was an apostle to the Gentiles, and so we find that that message was a very important one. In fact, very early in the book of Romans, we find that he says in 1:16 there that that he preached not only to Jew but to Gentile alike, the power of God unto salvation to Jew and Gentile alike. And so he had a great burden to do this. And so Paul speaks of his desire to travel and to fully be involved in preaching the gospel. In verse 20, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. Well, Paul was one of these apostles that wanted to go to the unreached. And this is the sense of the missionary endeavor as well, to go to the unreached. And we think about that today, that there are a number of missionaries who strive to go to places where they have never heard the gospel of Christ before. Far and distant lands, we might say, or unto peoples who do not have the Bible in their own language, or unto people who speak another language and they have no one to tell them. And with the great massive population of the world today, there really is no shortage of people that can be preached to. Here in the United States, of course, we might say that the United States is saturated in many ways with the gospel of Christ. Many churches in the United States, the literature that goes out in the United States, and the various kinds of media that employed to bring the gospel of Christ to people in the United States. But even though in the United States there is much that has been done to reach people, there are still a lot of people that are unreached, simply because people are being born into the world every single day. And those people need to be reached with the gospel of Christ as well. And then many of these people, of course, that are even in the United States, have not either heard the gospel, perhaps, or perhaps they have not received Christ simply because they have not had the presentation of the gospel message to them. But around the world today, though the message of Christ goes out over the internet and over many different avenues, we find there are still a number of places that need to be reached with the gospel of Christ. And so Paul's desire was to reach the unreached. And it seems to be clear from what he is saying here. He didn't want to build on somebody else's foundation. He didn't go where somebody else was always already there. He rather tried to go to those people who had not heard. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. So he had that really strong sense of missionary burden. And I think that's good, too. Perhaps we should think about that a little bit more and try to employ our efforts in places where people have not heard the gospel of Christ or somebody else isn't doing something. If we know of a town or a village where there is no church, where there is no good, strong gospel message being given, where it's kind of neglected, or perhaps just when we think about people in general, where there are people who do not seem to have anybody that is his preaching to them or speaking to them or ministering to them, these are opportunities for us as well to go and to try to reach other people. And it is something we'd have to think about and pray about, of course, that we might search out those places, as the apostles seem to be very sensitive to that. In verse 23, but now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. So he desired to go and to minister to the very people he was writing to. He desired to see them. He wanted to have fellowship with them. He wanted that close communion with them that he knew that he could only have if he was there in person with them. And this is really a pastor's heart or a missionary's heart as well. And more often than not, what do we find? We find that missionaries who are on the foreign field want to come back home because they miss the fellowship and the close communion with the people who are supporting them on the field. As much as they want to go back and they want to continue the very work God has called them to, they want to come and they want to visit the people back home as well, to have that close contact. So Christine Sears in Germany loves to come back, and she loves to come on furlough and minister to the churches where she has been before, and to encourage them in the work, as well as other missionaries that you may know as well. And that is a good thing, that we have that close relationship with these people who serve and take the gospel to others. In verse 25, but now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. Well, it seems to be another area that the apostle had, wasn't it? He not only loves to preach Christ, he not only loved to exhort the brethren, he not only wanted to see the sanctification of the Gentiles, but then he also had the very charitable spirit when it came to ministering to those at Jerusalem, to the saints and to those believers who were in great need at Jerusalem. He says, a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. And so that we should ever keep a mind upon the need of those believers around us who need some special help. And the church there at Macedonia and Achaia in Corinth and those places, they had the opportunity of giving to the support of the poor, and it pleased the apostle to be involved in that. In verse 27, it hath pleased them verily, and their debtors that they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Well, as the gospel, of course, began to spread after the time of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, and the church of Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, was thrust into its existence. We find that the Lord told them to begin at Jerusalem, go to Judea, unto Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the world. We find this progression of preaching the gospel was to take this wide sweep. But Paul did not forget that it was necessary also to minister to people back in Jerusalem. And so he tells the very Gentile people, you have benefited from this gospel message which began at Jerusalem, which began with the 12, which began with the apostles, which began because of the burden of the Lord to commission these and to send them out. Now it is your opportunity also to minister back to those in carnal things, that is, in finances or in helps, that you might be able to help the church at Jerusalem. And so he gives them this exhortive word. And it is one which bears, repeating, that we also need to help out other people. And sometimes we have the opportunity to do that more than others, but we ought to seize those opportunities and seek to minister unto other people. God has ministered to us in spiritual things. Let us minister unto others in carnal things when we can. In verse 28, when therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. And so he says, as soon as I am finished taking this gift of charity unto those who need it, he says, I will come to Spain. He says, I will come to you. And it is all because of the blessing of the gospel of Christ that this is possible. Verse 30, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Here is, of course, an essential area, isn't it? Not only taking the gospel, not only helping those who are in need, not only exhorting the brethren, not only caring for the ministry and edification of the saints, but it is also necessary to pray. And it is one of those areas that, of course, is extremely important to the ministry. Paul believed it was important for his ministry. It is important for this ministry. It's important for all ministries to pray for those who are ministering and serving, and that God might use them and equip them and sanctify them for the work of the ministry. And Paul did not forget to ask them for prayer, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. Two areas, one for protection, the other for blessing to those people that the contribution was going to go to. And we do this a lot. We pray many times for the protection of the missionary, to those who are serving, that the Lord would protect them on the foreign field, or protect them in those places where there might be danger, and also that God may bless the giving of those gifts, or multiply the gift unto those who need the support. In verse 32, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may be with you, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. So he concludes upon the matter by bringing this some sense of closure and benediction, and praying that God will bring all joy by the will of God to them. And he says that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. And many times I suppose we have heard how that missionaries come home on furlough and they are greatly refreshed. Or because they are able to go to the people that they are serving, then they find that there is great joy in the Lord as they are able to reaccount those things and be blessed of God. And the peace of God, that which passes all understanding, is a part of the fruit of the Spirit, which God gives to those who serve him with love, joy, and peace, and long-suffering, and gentleness, and meekness, and faith, and temperance, and all those various gifts of the fruit of the Spirit that are a great blessing in the work of the ministry. And so in conclusion, the overflow of his own Christian heart was demonstrated to them by these things that he said. And I trust that to you as well, that you may realize that you are part of the overflow of that Christian love in ministry to the pastor and to the people around you and to those that we do serve. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Loving Father, thank you for your grace and mercies to us. Thank you, Father, that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is our central focus. Thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity of being drawn together in fellowship and in faith and through the true sanctification of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, that we may be serving one another and serving the greater work of taking the gospel of Christ unto others in the world, and that we might also pray for one another. And in that prayer of faith and in service, that we might have great joy and peace in the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit. We ask your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen.